RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
This is MP on the mic on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and 105.1 FM.
Bittersweet day. I'm not afraid to admit that. I don't shy away from feelings, right? We confront them head on. It's been, when was the first time we mentioned the draft on this show? Because it wasn't after the Super Bowl, and it wasn't after the season ended. It was probably after that Bears game. That Bears game stunk. It was probably after the Bears game. We've been talking draft for a minute. After the Bears game, though, there was that run where Sam Howell was like, all right, Sam Howell's going to be the guy. And then the bottom fell out. Probably, I'm going to say around the time Tommy DeVito beat these guys was the first time we were talking draft. AWOD saw Tommy DeVito's agent on Radio Row at Bud Light Big Game Week. And all of a sudden, you had yourself a segment. I was like, that is radio magic right there.
I mean, it's always about the characters at Radio Row. Those are the best interviews. And the best part about meeting the agent of Tommy DeVito was that he's like, oh, you guys are from Richmond. He felt like he knew us personally, and so he signed the book and said, go Spiders.
Well, Richmond, University of Richmond.
Yeah, right.
Are there other schools? No, probably not. Don't worry about it. So we've been talking about the draft for a long time, but this is the last segment where we are going to preview this year's NFL draft, and thus this is the last time we will get to hear the NFL draft preview.
The countdown to NFL Draft Day is on.
Washington Commanders select.
Time to restock, reload, and give it another go. The NFL Draft.
It's RIP Draft Sounder. On to the next one. We'll have Probably some Jaden Daniels sound tomorrow morning to play on the show. Hopefully more exciting than today. Now, part of this is Jaden Daniels did his first like big media availability yesterday. To break this down from my perspective, there is no value in covering the NFL draft in Detroit if you're a journalist, right? Nothing happens in Detroit. Now, ESPN will be there. They'll have their sets and whatever. They're all just on their phones texting people, though. The news doesn't come out of Detroit. So that when they have like media availability for the draft people, it ends up being like high school reporters in Detroit who go out there. And so the question is, right, we didn't really get clarity on the Topgolf situation yesterday, and that will obviously be a topic of conversation tonight. By all accounts, they've smoothed things over, right? That was Albert Breer's report, that the Commanders and Jaden Daniels have smoothed things over on the Topgolf visit. This continues to be the worst possible lead up week. Even remember when RG3 was the number two pick? Heck, Chase Young was the number two pick. The whole week was celebratory. Here's who we're getting. We're fired up about him. I mean, basically every person in DC who's in sports journalism went to RG3's pro day at Baylor. Like the whole thing was just a celebration front to back. Same with Chase Young. Everybody knew it would be Chase Young. Everybody was fired up. This has been the opposite of that. Now, I think the teams had very legitimate reasons for keeping things tight, but also, anytime the morning of the draft report is that the team has smoothed things over with the guy they're about to pick, that's not great. That's not a great starting point to launch us from. I have faith in Adam Peters. I have faith in the organization. He's the right guy for the job, but he's biting off a lot tonight, whatever he does, because this is the last time he's going to get this opportunity to pick at number two. I'm also excited for the rest of the draft tonight. One of these quarterbacks is going to fall like a rock. And I don't know who it is. I don't know if it's J.J. McCarthy. I don't know if it's Michael Penix. One of these guys who keeps getting mocked into the top 15 may not get taken in the top 32 tonight, because that's the way it always goes. There's always one guy who's been hyped up, and it's not grounded in reality. And we're going to find out who that is. I'm also curious to see how this offensive line situation breaks out. Now, a lot of ways, this is a market correction tonight, right? The movie comes out, The Blind Side. Everybody loves left tackles. Everybody's got to get a great left tackle. Then over the last 10 years, it's defensive end season. You got to get a pass rusher. You got to get your TJ Watt, your JJ Watt, your Max Crosby, your guy who's going to torment the quarterback. And those guys have kind of overtaken the offensive linemen in fame a little bit. I think tonight's the night the market starts correcting itself. Now, the other part of this is, we talk about the draft and the uncertainty, and my catchphrase all draft season long has been nobody knows anything. That's true of quarterbacks. It's double true on the offensive line, too, because you think about minor league baseball, right? They play the same positions they play in major league baseball. You generally have a feel. Basketball, college skills don't translate to the NBA, but there's the G League, there's intermediate steps, there's pro ball overseas. You can know how guys translate. College football is just a different world than pro football now. And they're making some rules changes that'll nip away at that a little bit, but an offensive lineman in college football probably can't touch the next offensive line next to him, next offensive lineman next to him with his arm, right? If he puts his arm out, he probably can't touch the offensive lineman next to him. They spread out. They spread the field. It's a lot of one-on-one. That's not what the pros are at all. They're all shoulder-to-shoulder on the line in the pros. So you're guessing. And the pre-draft process is important for shaking that out. There are three offensive linemen I'm excited about. I don't think the Commanders have a shot at any of them. But what you need to know is, if the Commanders walk out of this draft, trading back into the first round, and leaving with J.C. Latham of Alabama, Olufoshanu of Penn State, or Joe Alt of Notre Dame, I'm doing victory lap tomorrow. It's Victory Friday. We're declaring it. Because those are the guys. Right, those are the guys that appear to be so good you can project them into the NFL even with all this uncertainty. But then after that, you got 5 to 8 guys that all could be good, could be busts, are definitely projects, and I'm very intrigued who they like, which way they go. This is why you hire Adam Peters, and this is why you trust Adam Peters to make that judgment, to make that development, and to see which way they go. Will they go with Amarius Mims from Georgia, right? A guy who just looks like a left tackle, needs a lot of work. Will they go with Roger Rosengarten, A guy from, you know, Washington who's been doing it at a high level has a much lower ceiling. How do they feel about this? They'll tip their hand. Because the other thing is, I don't want them starting their quarterback in week one behind this line the way the team's set up. Now, I think they will. I think I understand the arguments the other way. But right now, their starting left tackle is Cornelius Lucas. And no disrespect to Cornelius Lucas, but he's a career NFL backup, and he's a swing tackle. Their backup left tackle right now on their depth chart is listed as Braden Daniels. They took him in the fourth round last year out of Utah. I don't think it's a lock by any stretch that Braden Daniels is on the week one roster. And he's the backup right now for the guy who's going to keep the quarterback from getting destroyed. And by the way, your quarterback's probably going to be Jaden Daniels, a guy who was not great in pressure situations last year. That's his weakness. Are you gonna throw him out there for 17 games of that? You can't break your new toy right away. You've got to be more judicious about it. That was the source of the John Keim strife earlier this week. We played a portion of the John Keim roundtable yesterday, which was a ton of fun. The whole conversation's on John's podcast. Nikki Javala and Ben Standig got into a fight over whether or not the quarterback should play week one, whoever they draft. I'm Team Standig here. Hashtag Ben Strong, right? I think they should lay low. I don't think they should play their quarterback week one. This is a long-term project. Treat it as such. Do it carefully. Now, I get the counterpoint, which is, are you going to start Marcus Mariota week one? Ha, 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 ha. Like, yeah, I am. If that's what it is. The NFL is a league where your backup could play at any time. Why not go reverse order? Why not go reverse order? Play him out of the gate, move to Jaden Daniels as the year moves on, as you give these guys a chance to develop. I do think we've kind of moved to it's Jaden Daniels season with everybody. Albert Breer was riding the Drake May train for a long time. He switched to Jaden Daniels this morning. Here's Peter Schrager. He does the NFL Network stuff. Here he is on who it'll be in the draft this year.
I think on Friday afternoon I would have had a different conversation with you, to be honest, Pat. I feel like the last few days things have settled a bit, and I don't know if there's been conversations with Dan Quinn or with Cliff Kingsbury, but from all the intel that I'm gathering, it sounds like Daniels 2 to the Commanders is a lot more likely now than it might have been on Friday, when it was still likely, but there was bubbles about maybe he wasn't happy about the Top Golf visit, or maybe he's trying to direct where he's going. From what I gather, and his publicist, Denise White, came out with a statement saying he will be happy to go with whatever NFL team that he will be drafted by. I feel like 2 to the Washington Commanders. If I'm going to put my name on something now, I think Jaden Daniels is going to go 2 to Washington.
It's the consensus right now. Little bubbles about the Top Golf. Wait, we'll be hearing about the Top Golf for years.
Yeah.
We're never not going to be hearing about the Top Golf. You'll be hearing about it tonight on the broadcast if you tune in and watch, for sure. Other Commanders, we're going to raise hail about Top Golf. That's the new slogan. Hashtag raise hail.
Raise hail about Top Golf.
Raise hail. Woo. Praise Dale. Let's go. All right. I'll come around on it. I'm not against it. That's the new slogan. Raise hail. Daryl Green's jersey will be retired this year. His number will be retired. He'll be the fifth player in franchise history to have his number 28 retired. Well, he'd be the first player in franchise history to have number 28 retired. The fifth player in franchise history to have his number retired. Joined Sonny Jurgensen, Sean Taylor, Sammy Baugh, and Bobby Mitchell. And we'd had a little run, right? The Sean Taylor one kind of kicked it off, where it was Sammy Baugh and just Sammy Baugh forever. And now we got Bobby Mitchell, Sonny Jurgensen on the board. Obviously, Daryl Green was an easy choice. I think you're running out of easy choices, and I hope they pump the brakes after this. Very glad they're doing Daryl Green. Certainly don't want to give the impression otherwise there. Art Monk, I think, is in the easy club. Do you want to do a Joe Jacoby? I think you can make a case for that. That's about it on the top tier for me. I think the retired number should be the extra special, the special of the special. I would approach that very lightly going forward. But if you're going to have 4, you need to make room for 5, Daryl Green. So we'll be excited to see which game that is. Maybe a Monday nighter or a primetime game, something like that. We've got one segment left. We got to get you ready for the biggest thing that's going to happen in sports this weekend, the Mega Death Bowling-a-thon Throwdown between AWOD Radio, MP on the mic, and the VCU basketball team. That on the other side of this, you're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. Draft day, but we're not ignoring everything going on in the great city of Richmond. Michael Phillips here, MP on the mic with you until noon. We'll get into all things local sports with Lane Casadane. That's what I like about the Lane Casadane segment. It's not a Lane's on, so we have to talk about whatever. Lane can talk about anything. We'll throw it up and he'll hit it out of the park. We'll throw BP to Lane Casadane in a bit. Parney time at 11, special Thursday edition of Parney time, but we don't go any further without our daily Flying Squirrels update. First time this season, we are 17 games into the season. First time, your Richmond Flying Squirrels are above 500. Let's do it. 9 wins, 8 losses. They are ahead of the curve right now. 9-8 after a big win last night. Home win against Bowie, 6-3. Their fourth consecutive win was not all smooth sailing. Pair of errors in the top of the ninth inning, but Nick Garcia comes in, gets the save, strands the tying run on base. Luis Toribio with his first homer of the season.
Here comes Verbitsky. This one is hammered in the air, deep to center field. Fabian's racing over to the wall, but all he can do is watch it fly! It hits the flagpole in straightaway center field, and Luis Toribio sends the Flying Squirrels ahead 5-3 with a two-run homer. Hello, goodbye, Luis Toribio. First double-A home run gives the Flying Squirrels a 5-3 lead.
You heard it right here on The Fan with Blaine and Trey. They'll be back on tonight, of course, with In Your Face Fireworks after the game, 6:35, first pitch at the Diamond. You'll hear every out right here on 910 The Fan. Matt Frisbee takes the mound for Richmond against Bowie right-hander Ryan Long, followed by In Your Face Fireworks. Take that, regular fireworks shows. This one is In Your Face. All right, Commanders have a new slogan. Commanders are making news this morning. Everybody's favorite poorly named football team is making news this morning because, one, they sneak in there. Jamin Davis' fifth-year option declined. That's an easy one. Honestly, I thought Jamin Davis wasn't going to be on the football team this year, and just super honestly, I thought he was going to be in jail right now. That's where we're at on Jamin Davis. To refresh your memory, Jamin Davis was part of he was in the car the night DeShazer Everett crashed, the crash that killed DeShazer Everett's girlfriend, right? And so they were ultimately granted lenience. DeShazer Everett was not sent to jail, but he was speeding that night. You would think that would have an effect on a person, but not Jamin Davis, who was clocked going 115, which is against the law, in a 55. So he went in front of the court. It was apparently reportedly had multiple issues with speeding, was sentenced to jail time, reached a plea agreement. The judge threw out the plea agreement as being too lenient on Jamin Davis. The thing goes to trial. At the trial, he ended up with a lesser sentence. So Jamin Davis will end up being eligible to play next year. I thought they'd cut ties with him. He's still on the team, so I'm guessing he's going to be on the team at this juncture. That's the Jamin Davis story. Look, I think Jamin Davis can be an NFL football player. He's never going to be a middle linebacker, so he's never going to validate that first-round pick, but he needs to quit being a knucklehead before we worry about any of the other things. That's my Jamin Davis take. On the other hand, you've got good news from the Commanders this morning, too. Daryl Green's number will be retired, and that's awesome. We'll dive into that. Third piece of news from the Commanders this morning is that they have a new slogan for this year. So, obviously, not many people like the Commander's name, me included. I think it's a bad name. Some people nostalgic for the football team era. Sure, I'll spot you that. Obviously, Redskins is not coming back. Everybody, by now, even if you don't agree with that, you understand that. If you're still yelling for Redskins to come back, you're being difficult. You're not living in reality. You're being difficult, right? I say that as I... I got my thoughts on the matter, but I'm just saying, the ship has sailed. It's gone. It has left the harbor. It is gone. You can't see it anymore. If you're still saying that, you are part of the problem, not the solution. Now, the people who came up with the name Commanders are also part of the problem. They are also not part of the solution. But I like where we're headed here. But it's a little. I'm gonna have to warm up to it. So obviously, with the Redskins, it was Hail to the Redskins, HTTR, for many years. Last year, they switched to HTTC, Hail to the Commanders, which felt a little contrived and forced and goofy. Kind of the same unforced air as when they remade the fight song with Hail to the Commanders. It was like slow and jazzy. It didn't work, right? I don't know how long they're going to stick with that. It doesn't work. So this year's slogan, Raise Hail. Hashtag Raise Hail. All right. It's a little edgy, right? A little. Is that a thumbs up? Is that, I don't know where we're at there. That was just a let's get it on.
Yeah, I feel let's like get, that is the right energy. Raise Hail's the right energy. You're ready to go.
It's a football energy for sure. You couldn't have a baseball team. Hashtag Raise Hail.
Yeah.
Like, Raise Hail.
Can't keep that going.
Stand around and scratch yourself while you wait for your at-bat. Right. Football has the energy.
Yeah.
It reminds me of NASCAR. Praise Dale, Raise Hell.
Mm.
Right? I had that bad. Raise Hell, Praise Dale. Whatever, you know, you see people wearing the shirts, it's a tribute to Dale Earnhardt in the number three. That's the energy there. It's a NASCAR energy for sure. It's edgy. It doesn't bother me. It's all temporary, so it's hard for me to go super hard on any of this, right? Because there's going to be another name. I've been telling you that for a long time. I've been beating the drum on that for a long time. We're not at the end. We're in the middle. We're on the journey. We're not at the end. But Raise Hail is your slogan this year. Good? You know.
All right.
Now, what was funny was a couple years ago, I want to say they were still the Redskins. We'll get the timelines right. It was We Hail. And Brian LaFamina's group was running the team at the time. He was one of the short-lived post-Bruce Allen crew. He overlapped with Bruce for a minute, got pushed out. They objected. It was done over their objections. They felt like it sounded a little too Nazi-esque, the We Ooh. Hail. I don't think Raise Hail has that connotation, because we're thinking hell, not hail.
Yeah.
Is what we're thinking here. Is what they want you to think.
H-E double hockey sticks.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. That's the connotation we're going for here. I don't know. As with everything, I'll give it time. I gave Commanders an entire year. Nobody was fairer to Commanders than me. I gave it a whole friggin' year. I still don't like it.
Yeah.
I gave Major Tutty 4 minutes, and I was like, I like this dude. He can stay. Major Tutty's the guy. I hope Major Tutty stay. People ask me, are you being sarcastic when you do Major Tutty bits? And I just want to be 100% clear. I am not. I like Major Tutty, the cartoon pig mascot. I am in on that for sure. All right. NFL draft day. It's a good day to have the news, because you get the whole day to yourself. Because there's nothing left to say. Do you think they'll take Jaden Daniels? I don't know. We'll find out tonight. You know? We're kind of done with that. We're done with that. Who do you think will go at number seven? We're too close. In February, it's fun to speculate. Now it's like, well, I don't know. They'll pick tonight. It's time to find out. Let's do it. Let's have a pick. So it's a good day to make some other news. Darryl Green, his number 28, retired. Obviously, great tribute. He becomes the fifth Washington player with his number retired. I think we're nearing the end of the first cut of obvious candidates. I would say Art Monk and Joe Jacoby. Riggo, if you want to. I don't think Riggo's in that top cut, though. We can argue it. If you want to call in and argue it, we can argue it. We're at five right now. I think there's just one or two more before we pump the brakes on this. But they're making up for a lot of time. And as with all things, always, I'm glad they're doing it while Darryl Green's alive and can appreciate it. And they put out a very nice video on their social this morning. I think that stuff matters more than anything else, right? With Sonny, it happened too late. He was there, but kind of not really there. And that's you want them to be able to enjoy it and appreciate it with their families. All right, we'll step aside. Lane Castadone on the other side. It's a Thursday draft day edition of MP on the Mic, 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. Tuesday morning MP on the mic. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to our next guest for joining us, Lane Cassidane, sports director at CBS6. Lane, good morning. Happy draft day to you.
Now I'm here. Yes, good morning, Michael. How is everyone?
Everybody's great here. Last time I saw you was Saturday. You were emceeing the Virginia Sports Hall of Fame induction, which were great. We're going to play Rick Jeffries' speech on the show tomorrow because I want everybody to have a chance to hear that. What'd you make of the night and the chance to rub elbows with some pretty impressive names?
I mean, everybody's story was impressive, and as it should be for an event like that. The one thing that I was, and I don't know if proud is the right word, but I was proud to be associated with was the fact that we got to see the new Henrico Sports and Events Center in a different light, hosting an event like that. And it just showed the multi-purposefulness, if that's a word, and it is now because I just used it, of that building and the design that they had for it at the beginning. And it was a lot of fun to be there. It was a lot of fun to hear some of the stories. And I had never attended one of those before. So I was very, very happy to be a part of it.
Same here. And look, buddy, I don't work in newspapers anymore. You can use whatever words you want.
Just don't ask me to spell them.
It's not a spelling bee. It's a sports radio show. Exactly. Lane, it's, one of the cool things I thought was, as you mentioned, the chance to see people who normally you don't see together in that context get a chance to interact, right? You had Jill Ellis, who won a World Cup, and Chris Long, who was a great football player, chance to bring people together. So that was cool. We'll have more on that tomorrow. Lane Cassidante joining us right now, as he does on Thursdays. You know, we hit them occasionally. We hit them when we can. The news today, of course, the NFL draft. I think back about local NFL draft moments. I think about Cleveland Farrell, the surprise, number five to the Raiders a couple years ago. Russell Wilson, of course, getting his name called by the Seahawks. Anybody stand out as you think about kind of your history of following local guys getting into the draft?
Two of them. I actually attended the draft one year in 2001. It was at the Felt Forum, which is a theater that's attached to Madison Square Garden in New York City. That was the year Michael Vick went number one overall to the Falcons, and Huguenot's David Terrell went number eight overall to the Chicago Bears. So that was a lot of fun being there in the middle of that. Now, obviously, it wasn't the extravaganza it has grown into now, 22, 23 years later. But it was fun to see. It was fun to see in person. I don't know that I have to ever do it again, but it was fun to do it once. And the second one was we spent the day in, I think it was 1996 or 1997, we spent the day at the Sharper household in Henrico.
Oh, wow.
When Jamie and Darren were both taken in the second round. Now, that was a bit of a rough day because Jamie was expected to go in the first round, and he eventually went, I think, with the second pick in the second round to Baltimore. So there was a lot of waiting around that day. And that was back when I think they did, I'm trying to remember how the draft was structured back then, much different than it is now. They did not do the first round on Thursday. It wasn't a round all to itself. I think it was a two-day event back then. We were over there on a Saturday, and we were there for a majority of the day. But when he finally went, it was very joyous. He was very happy and obviously went on to have a really good NFL career. And then all of a sudden, we got back to the station. They're like, no, come back. Darren got taken, 20 picks later. We're like, oh, wow. Now, that one we weren't expecting. So that was a memorable day also.
Oh, no doubt. I agree with you, too. I've covered one draft in person, right? And it's not a television event. And people will watch it on television, of course. But it's fundamentally not a television event that has, that kind of interest and visual appeal. But they do their best every year to turn it into something, for sure. Lane Cassidane, CBS6, joining us. Lane, wait, I want to wrap up spring football with you briefly because I feel like I haven't given it enough chat this week and this month. I feel like Tech and UVA are in two very different places here, right? I feel like with Tech, you've got a quarterback, Kyren Drones. You've got a really soft schedule out of the gate. You got Marshall, you got old ODU, Vanderbilt. Whereas at UVA, you're still fighting to find out who that guy is. Is it Calandry? Is it Musket? They're going to take that into the fall. And they got a brutal schedule. Notre Dame's on their non-conference, right? They got some really tough non-conference games. What do you make of kind of where everybody stands now as we get out of the spring season?
Well, whereas, you know, not all that long ago that I can remember, the expectations for both of these programs were exactly the same. Play for an ACC title, a division title. They were routinely ranked in the top 20 every year, if not the top 15. And now our expectations and what we're looking for out of each program is vastly different. We expect Virginia Tech to take a significant step forward this year with what Brent Pry has brought in. He had, I think, 9 or 10 kids just from the Richmond area alone that he recruited last year. I know so many of them are on the two deep and saw a lot of action this spring and in the spring game. And I expect a resurgence of interest in Virginia Tech football around here simply for the fact that we are so familiar, or should be, with a lot of the players that are going to be contributing this year. And at UVA, it's almost the exact opposite. Can they get out of their own way? Can they at least, you know, try to make some progress? Can they move forward? Can they stay healthy? And the expectations that we have of each program have become very different. And when we start to expect the same things out of both of them, we'll know that the changes in whatever each coach is trying to do are really starting to work.
You know, it felt like the window cracked open for a minute for UVA to even the score. Then Bronco leaves abruptly. Kind of things get thrown back into chaos there. Sure feels like this is the year if Tech's going to put that separation on them. This is the year they do it.
Yeah, and I go back when I have to go back through our archives and look for some video of former players, you know, if they're honored for something or, you know, honored by the conference or something like that. I go back and look at some of the players that each of these programs have had, and it's just stunning. I was on the field the night that UVA beat Florida State for the first time back in, I believe it was fall of 1995. And at any given point, no matter who had the ball in that game, there were at least a dozen NFL players on that field between both teams, either offense, defense, or you know, whoever had the ball. And you really want to see both of our biggest state programs get back to that, where, you know, you can just tell they're recruiting kids, they're moving them forward, and these are kids that, you know, at least, you know, some of them will have a realistic chance of playing on Sundays when they get done.
It's that's the goal, and that makes our life more fun too. Lane, when do you start thinking about a final score Friday? When do you turn that card? You're not there yet. When does that happen?
Oh, you don't think I'm there yet? No, I was actually honest. I was thinking about it this morning. I was asked about it the other day. I can't remember. I think someone asked me who, you know, what year is this for us? This will be our 30th season this fall.
Oh, let's go.
Look at the calendar. And actually, the first order of business that that I put together each year is lining up the cheerleaders. So I usually, at the beginning of every May, I send out an email to the cheering coaches from around the region just to gauge interest and try to get them lined up, because once everybody leaves for summer, then that's it. You never get a hold of them again. So I try to do that before the year gets out, and we've had some personnel changes within our newsroom that are going to, we kind of have to have a meeting about how we'll staff the show this fall and get as many games covered as we have in the past. So just things like that. But yeah, we already start to think about it in the spring.
That's the best reality of all there, Lane, because when we would do all Metro teams, right, for the baseball and softball and all that, if you didn't have them picked before those kids had left, they're done. You're never talking to them again. Summertime is just dead in Richmond.
And you can completely understand that too, which is why I try to get them before school gets out.
Heck yeah, you and me both. Lane Cassidane, CBS 6. Always appreciate the time, and we'll catch up with you down the line.
All right, Michael, thanks for having me. Have a great weekend, everybody.
All right, off he goes, and off we go to a break, because that's what we have to do right now. But we'll be back. More MP on the mic right after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Okay, so the Daryl Green video, which is really cool and really well done. Congrats to the Commanders. Congrats to Daryl Green. He's getting his number retired, number 28, be the fifth number in team history that'll be retired. It weirds me, like, seeing all the people. Like, you see Jason Wright, and you're like, he's still there. Yeah, he's still there. And you see Josh Harris. You're like, what's Josh Harris? Oh, yeah, Josh Harris owns the team. Like, he speaks to these moments. Like, in my mind, Josh Harris doesn't quite have the credibility yet to speak into these moments, but also, who else is going to do it? He's the guy. And then Mitchell Rails is in the video. I don't know. All of these people, like, I'm still adjusting to them existing in that space with this football team. Okay, Josh Harris is, like, congratulating Daryl Green. He owns the team. That's why he's doing that. Okay. Well, over time, I'll come around, for sure. Magic Johnson's on there. Like, Magic's cool because you can drop Magic into any scenario, and he's right at home in that scenario. As we say, raise hail. That's what we say now. That's the new slogan, your Washington Commanders.
I need to get, like, an eagle cry in the back every time you say that.
It's NASCAR vibes to me. Raise hail, praise Dale, right? That's the vibe I get. That's all right. I will come around on this quicker than I did on Commanders, for sure. It's the right attitude for a team slogan. Speaking of teams, new NHL team coming to Utah. We love our team naming in Richmond, home of the Flying Squirrels. Eight names. They're going to run an eight-team bracket to name the new hockey team in Utah. Props to them, because every other team naming process ever has been blatantly and brutally rigged, right? Like, Flying Squirrels? I don't think I'm dropping secrets here. Like, mail in what your vote is, and then we'll tell you who won. Yeah, I'm sure you will. Like, Commanders. Like, they had a email in your suggestions, and lots of people sent in good suggestions, and then they picked Commanders.
Uh-huh.
Blatantly rigged. It's almost always blatantly rigged. It's harder to blatantly rig a bracket, right? Like, this is a process. We're going to be doing this for a while.
Yeah.
All right. Eight names. Here's what we've got. The Utah Ice. It communicates hockey, for sure.
That is very hockey.
The Ice. It's singular. There are very few singular sports names in pro sports. They're almost all plural. One of the few is the Utah Jazz.
Oh, so it's a Utah thing.
Could be a Utah thing. Well, it could be coming. One is not a trend, but...
Very true.
Two is a trend if we go through Utah Ice. Same with the next one. So I think you can see where we're going here. The Utah Fury. I don't think of Salt Lake City as being Fury.
Particularly ferocious.
Yeah, that's a no for me. The Yetis. The Utah Yetis. Did you think of...
Yetis. That's got a ring.
Did you think of the monster or the cooler first?
The monster. Salt Lake City.
It opens the door to confusion.
That's true.
When the Yetis win the Stanley Cup... We'll have no clue if that's a hockey statement or if a cooler is holding the trendy drink product, right?
Yeah, that's too difficult.
A little of everything.
Too much trademark issues there.
A lot of issues there, but I like it for mascot potential.
Very true.
Yeah.
Gritty competitor.
Absolutely. The Venom. That's a little too Marvel comic book. The Venom.
Yeah.
If there's a Utah tie there, I'm open to it. I'm unaware of a Utah tie with the Venom. I don't think of, like, scorpions is living in Utah or anything.
Yeah.
I have been in the Great Salt Lake, and it is trippy. It is wild. Here's my travel advice to you as I derail this segment. If you ever end up in Utah...
We're still on Utah.
We're going
to be not derailed.
Perfect.
We're still in Utah.
Go get in the Great Salt Lake.
Okay.
You can't make yourself sink.
What?
No matter how hard you try. Yeah. You can try to swim to the bottom, but you'd pop right back up. You cannot sink in the Great Salt Lake.
They got to use that on their
If you don't know how to swim, you can go in the Great Salt Lake. You can't sink.
Okay.
Don't ask me to explain how. It's trippy. And then when you come out of the Great Salt Lake, you're literally coated in salt. like you've been seasoned like a brisket or something.
Wow.
And there's showers, right? You have to like shower off right there and wash all the salt off, and it rinses back in to pop the next person out. But like you hold your breath, like go down, try to swim to the bottom. You can't. It'll pop you back
up. Wow.
Super trippy.
That's really weird.
There you go. There's my story for the day. Did I say blizzard? Because blizzard is the next one, I think.
Is it very snowy in Utah?
I'm taking blizzard over ice, though. It's a little more aggressive than the ice.
The ice cubes.
Yeah, so I want blizzard over ice.
Okay.
And you could do like the abominable snowman as your mascot, too. You got options. The outlaws.
No.
I think the Mormons see themselves as outlaws. I think that's where that comes from.
Oh.
Right? Right? Like,
okay.
We're out here living in you know, Utah doing our thing. Like, we're the outlaws.
They got their whole new Bible.
And they got their wives and their Bibles with all the chapters.
They are different. They are outlaws,
I think,
they say.
I think so. I think they're not wrong there. Okay. Mormon's not an option here, by the way. But
Utah Mormons.
If you need to go to a 9-team bracket, the mammoth. The Utah Mammoth.
That's singular?
It just means big.
Okay.
Yeah. I guess a woolly mammoth, maybe.
All right.
That's not doing anything for me. And here we go.
Okay.
The Utah Hockey Club.
Oh, that's the winner. That's my winner.
We've been down this road once, and a lot of people are nostalgic for it.
So you're going to have to tell me how this bracket works.
It's not been announced yet.
Okay.
So we will be Richmond's number one authority. On the Utah hockey team bracket, name bracket.
Okay.
Name.
Choosing. Name bracket. Bracket.
I think I like the blizzard, but I like outlaws too.
I'm a fan of the Yeti.
Yeti's good. Yeah. You're correct that you're going to have trademark issues there.
Yeah.
But there's no confusion. Nobody's confused on a hockey team and a cooler.
Very true.
And there's branding potential there too.
Mm-hmm.
And you got a good mascot. I like it too. We'll keep an eye on the Utah hockey naming situation. We'll keep an eye on the NFL draft too, because it is 9 hours away. We did it, folks. We made it. We got there. Our next guest on the other side of this break is on site in Detroit. Parney, who normally does Parney Time with us on Fridays, will be joining us today from Detroit. Because apparently everybody's in Detroit for this. And this caught me off guard. Somebody asked me a few weeks ago, like, are you going to the draft? I was like, no. Why would I go to the draft? I did one draft once. It was Philadelphia because it was driving distance. Like, yeah. I'll go cover a draft. And you heard Lane say it too. It's exceptionally boring. It's not a visual product. It's not a TV product. It's a fantasy football draft come to life. It's a list of names being read. There's nothing to see. There's no reason to go to a draft, but apparently everybody's in Detroit. Good for them. Good for them. I'll tell my Detroit story in the 11:30 hour, maybe. Going to a Red Wings game, speaking of hockey in Detroit. We'll do all that. We'll chat with Parney. We got a whole nother hour. Live and local, AWOD Radio takes over after 12 to 3. The big bowling contest is tomorrow. AWOD and I will be bowling against the VCU basketball team, Robbie and Rodney. That's going to be exciting, too. Right now, though, Parney on the other side. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. 11 o'clock, hour number 2. MP on the mic. Thank you for joining us in here, out there, worldwide on the free Odyssey app. And, of course, on all major platforms, MP on the mic. Derby Bill sends in Utah Missions as the name of the team. He sent a picture of Mission Tortillas. Reminds me of the keep the Redskins name, but name it after potatoes joke. Yeah, you missed that. That's all right. You were chatting with Parney, which is good because we need that because this is the Parney segment. It's Parney time, and here he is. Let's do it. Yeah, bring him on. Let's not waste any time here. Parney, what's up, dude?
MP on the mic, greetings from Detroit and the NFL draft. It's a good day to eat pancakes if you watch the movie Draft Day.
Vontae Mack, no matter what, that's what I know. Just send the card over. Jane Daniels, no matter what tonight.
You were at my wedding, MP. You know that in my wedding vows, I told Tanya no matter what a bunch of times, and that's directly from Draft Day. So obviously being here in Detroit on draft day, loving that movie as much as I have, is exciting for me. I was with Kevin Colbert last night, though, the former GM of the Pittsburgh Steelers at Jerome Bettis's foundation function. And we were riding in the car together to the event, and I said, Kevin, one of my favorite movies is Draft Day. Is that realistic? He just looked at me and smirked. So it kind of took the air out of my sails a little bit.
I'm going to chalk that up as a maybe. I'm going to call that a maybe right there is what I'm going to do.
Kevin is one of the nicest guys I've ever met in sports. We got along great. He's a huge minor league baseball fan. Knew all about the Richmond Flying Squirrels. Even knew that I'd been in Altoona, which was mind-boggling to me. So it was great to meet him. And Jerome had an amazing event last night. I wandered up near the stage, and Jerome was on the stage with Barry Sanders, Megatron, and Adam Schefter was there. And I'm like, how the heck is Adam Schefter? Isn't he supposed to get in scoops right now? Like, how's he spending time at this function tonight? So it was really great to be at that, but I really enjoyed meeting Kevin Colbert. It was just a really, we even hung out a little bit afterwards. He's, for you Steeler fans out there, he did an amazing job with the Steelers organization, still involved a little bit, but he and I got to talk a little bit about semi-retirement. He's enjoying some of the same things I am.
It's, I mean, Detroit's got so many like Barry Sanders is my guy. Like, I don't know if you've seen the documentary. They did a documentary catching up with him recently on Amazon. Like, Barry was, every time you watched him play, your jaw would drop. There's so few guys, him, Bo Jackson, Michael Vick, RG3 for like 2 months before he got broken. Like, it's a small list of guys. Like, every time they play, you have to watch because you never know what you're going to see.
Well, look, I mean, again, he's just one of those legends that when you're around him, you're just like, wow, I'm standing 3 feet away from Barry Sanders. You know what I mean? Like, and especially in Detroit. And Megatron's the same way. I mean, he epitomizes Detroit, the Detroit Lions. And it's also good to see the Lions doing well and the city so on fire for the Detroit Lions. And this is their moment, and they're really embracing it. I mean, we went downtown after the event and hit a couple of the parties. Have you ever heard of White Boy Rick?
I don't know that I know White Boy Rick.
There's a movie about him. He's a Detroit legend, and he was at the party. He was incarcerated for like 30 years. Jerome was telling me the whole story last night. It's pretty amazing. But just to see the people that come up to Jerome, you know, Jerome was born and raised in Detroit. He's proud to be from Detroit, and to see him welcomed the way that he was at all the various events we were at last night was as his friend was really rewarding for me. And looking forward to today. He and Jamal Doakes, his business manager, out of the NFL event right now, and we're going to head downtown this afternoon for the draft.
There you go. So you'll be like, when we see the stage, like, that's where you'll be.
They haven't told me where we're going to be yet, but the big thing is, because you know how particular I am with how I look with my pants. I'm walking into the NFL draft where everybody's going to have their favorite suit on. So, like, after we're done this call, I'm going to talk to Benny Rothrock in Richmond for a little bit about the homestand. He and I are going to have our weekly meeting. But then I got to make this decision. What am I going to wear to the NFL draft? And I'm just really in a quandary about it. But I'll come up with something, and hopefully I'll represent the Party Time brand well tonight.
You're not considering not wearing party pants, right?
Oh, no, I don't have anything else.
Okay, you know? Yeah. You can look formal. There are formal party pants. I've seen them before.
Yeah, yeah. Or, you know, I might even break out the wedding suit. You remember my wedding suit? I might break that out tonight, too. We'll see how it goes.
That's how I know this is a big event. Let's go. All right.
Yeah,
Parney in Detroit. I love it. Parney takes on Detroit.
So do you think, because I've been sitting in the hotel room working, I just got off of a Zoom with the staff in Richmond and Lou DiVella about the new ballpark, but I've had the NFL Network on. Do you think there's any way that the Washington does not take Jaden Daniels? Because I was in a conversation with somebody last night, and I said to them, I wouldn't be surprised they took J.J. McCarthy and those people thought I was crazy.
Well, you've correctly identified who it'll be if it's a surprise. Yeah, it's not going to be Drake May. It's going to be J.J. McCarthy. I think if they want him, though, they can trade with the Giants and still get him. So I think you're trading back if you do that. You're not turning in the card at two for J.J. McCarthy. Because every year there's the guy, and it's, oh, this guy's going to crack the top five, you know, and Will Levis last year, right? There's always that guy, like, he's rising up the draft boards. And then at the end, it turned out it was all kind of smoke and noise, and he wasn't actually rising up the draft boards. I think they trade back if they want to do that, though, load up on some picks. Because that's the way you do it. You know that, Parney. That's you trade back, you get more picks, you get more guys, you load up. That's what you do.
Vontae Mack, no matter what, baby.
I love it. Adam Peters' first draft, though, like, that is a pressure cooker situation. General manager for the first time in your career, show up, you're number two in the NFL draft, and by the way, you need to take a franchise quarterback, and you don't have an offensive line, and no pressure, but there's a new ownership group trying to build a nice new stadium, and it'd sure be nice to get them some momentum. That's a lot.
Yeah, but look, he comes from good stock, right? Like, he's been around people that have built teams from the draft, and I think they made a wise choice in him. So, you know, you and I, in our friendship offline, talk all the time about Washington. They're going to be the team that I watch tonight, because are they going to be different? Are they going to act different than they have in the past? And I think with him in charge, I think they're going to. So I'm really excited about it. And the other one that we were talking about last night was Michael Penix Jr. Like, where's he going to go? Like, they're talking about him, maybe, if he's not picked by the Raiders at, I think, 12 or 13, is he going to slip to tomorrow? Like, who's going to be the player that's sitting there with his family alone? That's always the sad part about the draft, right?
They've really tweaked the list this year to avoid that, because, like, even J.J. McCarthy's not there, Penix isn't there. Like, they've really worked to make sure that doesn't happen. Yeah, it'll happen, because it always happens, but they're doing their best to make sure it doesn't happen this year. Now, we got Parney on the line. I need you to weigh in. Tomorrow's a big day here at the Fan. It is the Bowling Spectacular. Awad and I are going to enter a bowling challenge against Robbie Robinson and Rodney Ashby, the voices of VCU basketball.
Now, is there any point spread on this? Do we have any ATS? Or
no handicap. A lot of us are going in blind here. I think you're not getting a daily racing form here. There's no past performances. It's a lot of guys who haven't done this in a long time.
Well, that'll be fun. I did see that on social media. I don't know who I could pick in this. I don't know what people's, you know, if I could get Jerome down there in time. You know, Jerome has bowled 310 times in his life. He is a very, very good bowler, and we were over at the Detroit Country Club on Tuesday night for dinner, where he and Jamal are members, and they have a bowling league, and all these guys came up to Jerome trying to recruit him for their bowling team. It was really funny. He's had 10 300 games.
Jerome Bettis, the Bus, famous Pittsburgh Steeler, Super Bowl champion, is just as good at bowling as he is at football?
Well, I don't know if he's just as good.
You said 10 perfect games.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I think it's 10, and maybe it's not 10, but it's a lot. He's had more 300s than he's had holding ones. I can tell you that right now. So that's without a doubt. But
any golf on the books in Detroit?
No. We're going tonight. Been pretty busy with different events, and then as I said, they're at an NFL event now. They're going to come back to the hotel. We'll start heading downtown. I've been staying active in the mornings, in touch with the staff there. The Squirrels are getting hot. Talked to Dennis Pelfrey last night. Won another game last night. Great crowds. Oh my goodness. So what was it? Almost 8,000 on a Wednesday night last night in Richmond. So. Really proud of Benny Rothrock and the entire staff there. Fireworks tonight. Saturday they're going to be wearing that James River jersey. Have you seen that yet?
Those are sharp. The hat with the light blue hat with the bridge, that is a sharp hat, Parney.
Yeah, those things are flying out the door like Tic Tacs. So, if you want to get one of those, I get it pretty quick, MP listeners. Because the Jackson Hairfield, the merchandise staff's doing a great job with that. So, yeah, a lot going on at the Diamond. The team will go on the road for 2 weeks. So you know, make sure that you come out tonight or over the weekend for all the great promotions, because they'll be gone for a couple weeks after this.
Is that a one-off, or will they be wearing those occasionally?
I think that this is a one. I'm pretty sure this is a one-off.
That's pretty good for a one-off. Like, normally the one-offs are like a little cheesy. This isn't at all.
No, it's a real tribute. I mean, the design was just fantastic. I think Hunter on our staff is the one that designed that one, and I'm pretty sure. And they just do a great job. You know, people behind the scenes there that don't get as much credit as some of us that are in front of the cameras all the time, just they're all amazingly talented, hardworking people. So it's good to see the reaction to something, you know, like this jersey and this hat, because it gives accolades to people like Nick Elder and Hunter Glotz that do such a great job of getting these products together, and somebody like Jackson Harefield in the merchandise store who makes sure that people buy it and get it out in the community, and not only just the community, all over the country.
Get out there this weekend. Squirrels baseball, 7,000 on Tuesday for school day, 8,000 last night, fireworks tonight. I know Richmond will show out for fireworks. A lot of momentum, a lot of good things happening. Parney, you'll be back next week with stories from Detroit.
Absolutely, and you mentioned Parney Time before. We're still gearing up for the first Parney Time podcast. Please, 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 please follow me on social media, at Parney Time on YouTube and also on Twitter and IG.
Is this a video show too?
It's a video show, absolutely.
Oh, stop it. All right, let's go. There we go. All right.
Hey, MP, we got it. We got to show the pants, baby.
It's waist down filming. It's the opposite of the opposite of most.
Yeah, so it's great to be with you. We'll be back next week, and looking forward to seeing you and everybody out of the diamond soon. Make sure you go this weekend, everybody. It's going to be great, and check us out at the NFL Draft tonight.
I'll be there Saturday, and Parney from the NFL Draft, thank you for checking in. It's been a good Parney time. Back next week for round three.
Have fun. Go nuts, everybody.
Off he goes, and off we go to a break. We'll be back with more after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. Thursday morning, draft day. Are we in playoff mode or draft mode? We got to figure that out. We got a few hours to figure that out. I can't be in both modes simultaneously. We'll figure it out. We'll find a way. That's what the double screen TV is for right there. It's 11:20. Thanks for hanging with us today. If you missed Parney or Lane Casadane or any of the segments so far, grab the Odyssey app. It's free. It's got the rewind button. Jerome Bettis, one of the most famous football players of all time, native of Detroit, will be a big deal at the draft tonight. Parney just told me Jerome Bettis is a famous bowler, and I did not believe that at first. This from the Pro Football Hall of Fame website. Long before he began bowling over opponents on the football field, Jerome Bettis was knocking down strikes and spares at the neighborhood bowling alley. "I started bowling when I was a little guy. It was the best thing in the world for us," said the bus. His first love was bowling. He was the best bowler in the state of Michigan and started traveling for bowling. Had to make a decision when he went to high school whether to bowl or play football. Now, that was a good decision by the bus. It turned out all right for him. That's fast. He could have been, who's the guy? Pete Weber in that clip? Who do you think you are? I am. That could have been Jerome Bettis. In 1997, as his NFL career was taking off, Bettis rolled a perfect 300 game at a Pro-Am event. He calls that his single biggest accomplishment, even bigger than winning the Super Bowl. Bettis was the first inductee to the Celebrity Bowling Hall of Fame. I need to know everything about the Celebrity Bowling Hall of Fame. That is ticketed for 10:45 on tomorrow's program, effective immediately.
Noted. I'm writing it down. We'll be back.
Don't write it down in pen. Write it down in pencil. Something else shiny will distract me momentarily. You can bank on that. MP on the mic. Lines are yours, 833-804-0910. There was a tweet yesterday. I want to go off the draft board for a moment. Duquesne basketball Keith Dambrot led them to the tournament this year. They beat VCU in the A-10 title game. He announced he'd be retiring. They won their first tournament game. Outstanding send-off for him. Dambrot, of course, has longtime ties with LeBron James. He was LeBron's coach in high school. The new coach of Duquesne basketball is Drew Joyce. Drew Joyce also has ties to LeBron and to the Akron gang from, was it St. Vincent St. Mary's, LeBron's high school. He tweeted yesterday an image. He's got the alarms, the eyeballs, all the things, and then the gif of LeBron tossing the powder up in the air, LeBron's signature move. That's it. That's the tweet. And so the rumor mill is going wild here that Bronny James is going to transfer from USC to Duquesne, which, my goodness, think about, we ragged on the A-10 a little bit this year, and I have ragged on the A-10 a lot that I don't find the matchups compelling because I'd rather be in the CAA playing Mason, William & Mary, Old Dominion, James Madison than playing these teams I don't know with guys I've never heard of, even if they're marginally better. You're telling me we could have a year next year where the white guy with goggles from Indiana State is playing for St. Louis, where St. Joe's is loaded, where Bronny freaking James is in the A-10 at Duquesne? I love it. Let's do it. Now, he tweeted that out, and then a couple hours later, Duquesne had a post, Trey Dinkins, he was the best player at Canisius last year, is going to transfer to Duquesne. I hope that's not it, because if the announcement was Trey Dinkins is transferring from Canisius to Duquesne, that's not alarm bells, eyeballs, and the powder toss. That's overselling the Trey Dinkins news. I'm going right back to being disappointed. It could, some people point out, could be a merchandise deal, right? North Carolina has the Jordan brand. Maybe they're going to rep LeBron brand or something. I'm holding out hope Bronny's going to be at the Stu next year. I am all in on that. And I would love to see what that would do for Duquesne basketball in Pittsburgh, right? Their stadium holds like 4,000 people. It'd be bursting at the seams. Would not be Bronny's first trip to Richmond. He played against John Marshall in an exhibition game a few years ago that sold out the Arthur Ashe Center. Last big event at the Arthur Ashe Center, which is now boarded up, slated for demolition, will probably forever stand as last big event at the Arthur Ashe Center. There was another famous NBA kid on that team, too. I'm blanking on who it was, but it was John Marshall against the Sierra Canyon team, Bronny's traveling team, at, of all places, the Arthur Ashe Center, which is further proof Richmond needs an elite athletic venue, because a game like that should not have happened in a place like that. This is, Bronny is also in the NBA pre-draft circuit, too. So he could go to the NBA. He could stay at Southern Cal for another year. They switched coaches, though. Or he could transfer to Duquesne. We talk about Jerome Bettis. He was either going to be a bowler or a football player, and he was in, you know, actual agony over this. He ends up in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, right? The decision between playing basketball in the NBA and playing basketball for Duquesne University, that is a wild swing. That may be the biggest possible swing of two legitimate options available to a basketball player on this planet at any given moment. I may go play with the best in the world every night in the NBA and, you know, compete for the O'Brien Trophy on national television, but I'm also thinking about playing for Duquesne University in Pittsburgh. Oh, Pitt? No, not Pitt. It's a smaller school. That would be Bronny in the A-10, Robbie Avila in the A-10. Let's get some stars. Let's get a little star power in the A-10. Friday night's hopping again on CBS Sports Network if we get him there. Bronny at the Stew. I love it. I'm in on it. I want to do one more segment of NFL Draft because it's draft day. This is our last chance to preview the draft. We'll bring on AWOD for a little crosstalk. We'll talk about our bowling challenge tomorrow against the voices of VCU basketball, Robbie Robinson and Rodney Ashby. I'm fired up for that. And we'll take on everything else in the world of sports. Lines are open, 833-804-0910. Give us a shout. We're back after this. This is 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Hey, what's here? It's crosstalk time. It's draft day, but we're getting to the bottom of more important things right now. Because AWOD's contention is that people are sleeping on Paula Abdul.
Being the first ever Laker girl.
I just, general awareness of Paula Abdul. Yeah. There's things that happened before Sydney Sweeney.
I didn't realize how big of a Paula Abdul fan I am. And I think that's what it is.
I think if you talk to people 15, 20, 25 years older than you, Paula Abdul awareness is exceptionally high. She was a big, big deal. She was famous.
Wikipedia does say that she was the lead Laker girl choreographer at the age of 18. I didn't find that out until I watched HBO's Winning Time, but you're telling me everybody knew that.
I think everybody knows that. I don't know that everybody specifically knows that piece of trivia,
mm-hmm.
but Paula Abdul awareness, very high generally. Very, very high. I'm trying to, a couple of years ago when they had the Redskins cheerleader controversy, remember they brought in like a famous choreographer to like remake the team?
Oh, really?
When they made like... Not
the
a
command cheer- team,
the command force. Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to remember who, but they had done a reality TV show about like her. It was like the Clipper Girls, and it was just like her bossing them around. Remember that?
No, but
because there's so many of those.
Yeah,
But did they do the pyramid? Did she do the pyramid? The Abby Lee Miller pyramid?
The Abby. I'm blank. What's the poll there?
It's just that you get all the dancers in a room, you put a pyramid up, and you put somebody on the top of the pyramid. They're the best, and everybody else is awful.
Yeah,
bottom of the pyramid, you sucked.
Who's the person you referenced?
Abby Lee Miller?
Yeah.
She's the dance mom?
Yeah. They're like six-year-olds. Okay. It's kind of sick.
Oh, that's funny. I'm just learning about this pyramid here.
The pyramid is essential.
I say with pride and no sense of missing out, never seen Dance Moms.
Yeah.
Probably not gonna make it a point to catch up on that either.
You are missing something, though. The problem.
I don't doubt. I don't doubt that I missed a cultural experience there, for sure. But probably not catching up on that one. AY joins us at the end of the program. Tomorrow, I guess we'll have crosstalk tomorrow.
Yep.
But then 1 o'clock, is that start time here?
Yeah, so the way I want to do it is, look, the NFL draft is king. I want to spend the entire first hour of the show recapping who the Commanders
select. This is your show at
noon.
Yeah.
From 12 to 1, and then we'll have some fun at the bowling alley there while also still providing updates about the draft.
So it's you and me against Robbie and Rodney.
Yes.
What's the format? Are we just adding our scores together? Is this a best ball?
No, it's not a best ball situation. Michael and I will be on lane 2. They will take lane 1, and
is that the better lane?
I want us to be on lane 2 because that's my comfort lane, and I think if I get a good score, we have a better chance of winning.
You think
right?
You're going to drag our team across the finish line?
I mean, dude, I just rolled a 181. I'm always braggadocious, but I've been bowling really well.
So we'll add our scores together.
Yes.
Lowest score wins. What do we?
No.
Highest
no.
score wins.
What is this guy?
Highest
who
score
is
wins.
This guy?
I don't know. I don't know who this guy is. Somebody fire this guy immediately.
Stub in the background. No.
No.
No, he just immediately. No, that's not how it works, Michael.
I just made stuff very mad. What do we know about Robbie and Rodney? Do we have a scouting report?
We know that Robbie Robinson saw me at Whole Foods the other day and was very confident in his bowling game.
Okay.
Rodney Ashby says he has not bowled in a while, but... 20 years ago, it was very good, apparently.
That's my story, too. So, yeah. All right.
I was not very good 20 years ago.
But you're picking up steam.
Yeah, because, I bowled a lot. Like, we used to go to Bowl America all the time. Probably, like, 3 years in a row for my birthday, we'd go to Bowl America.
Great birthday party spot.
And that was, like, 13, 14, 15. I stopped bowling in high school, bowled maybe once in college.
You and Jerome Bettis.
Right.
Both had to choose between your true loves of bowling and something else.
Yeah. And so since I've recently picked it up and have been bowling every Friday, I'm getting more consistent. I've got a bowling instructor there who bowled... 280 the other day, and then was telling me about it. He's just unbelievable, Ken at River City. So I'm chicken winging less. He's got me lining up from the right arrow, and I'm becoming a legit bowler.
This is gonna be a show. I'm excited for it, and we'll call the action live. We'll have multiple professional radio people there. So
that was the cool thing.
Shouldn't be an issue.
Was when Robbie came to River City Roll the first time, and he threw out a eureka when I bowled the strike and made VCU fans very happy.
I wouldn't mind a bullseye in there as well. AWOD Radio next tomorrow. For the first time in many months, we will recap what happened in the NFL draft instead of talking about what will happen. And I'm excited for that. Hope you're excited for that. AWOD Radio, 3 hours live and local next. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.